I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading for today is John 1, 6 through 8, 19 through 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you're neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptized with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. May the Lord bless the reading of his scripture.
Thank you, John. There was a man sent from God. What John the Baptist is doing, which, by the way, in the Gospel of John, you'll never read John the Baptist. He just refers to him as John, but we know who he's talking about. He's witnessing to Jesus. That's what he's doing. Because witnessing is a very important thing. And for many of us, when we hear the term witness, we think about, some of us may, of evangelicals who will go around and just accept Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Lord. And they get very enthusiastic about it. And enthusiastic may not even be a strong enough word. But they get excited. And so they begin to badger people. And we've seen that. We've seen where some of these people will badger people. "You need to turn to Christ. You need to become..." And what they're doing is running them off. Instead of bringing them to, they're running them off. Because there's a way to witness. There are things that we can do to witness that'll make our witness stronger. And badgering people or acting a bit overzealous is not one of the ways to do that. Witnessing to Christ is important. There's no denying that. But how we witness will determine whether people listen. Now I want you to look at how John witnessed. First, he told them who he wasn't, right? He said, "I am not the Messiah." But then he quotes scripture to say, "And this is what I'm about, a voice crying in the wilderness." And finally, he even tells them his limitations. "I can baptize you with water, but he who comes after me can do it with the Holy Spirit." Now what he's doing is testifying that Jesus is the light of the world. What he's testifying to is that Jesus is exalted. And what he's testifying to is that Jesus is the one who can bring you the Holy Spirit. That he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So how can we achieve that? How can we be people who witness in such a way that we bring the Holy Spirit? How can we become good witnesses? And I want to share with you today the most effective way I have found to do this is to tell our story. Stories are very important. And if you haven't shared a story about yourself with your children, if you haven't shared a story about the church and how important it is, You're not witnessing. Don't run them off. And as I said, you know, you get somebody who says, oh, the Lord Jesus, you got to have Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And they're like, whoa, get back. Aren't they? On the other hand, you don't want to go up and say, yeah, you know, I kind of like Jesus. He's pretty good to me, and I want you to have him too. There's got to be that spirit, that feeling of, I'm witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to share that with you. And tell your story. If you've been in this church or in church any length of time, you have stories to share. Stories can change everything. Now, let me ask you this. Do you know how Jesus conveyed the message of God? How he witnessed to God? Through stories. We call them parables. Just for an example, here is chapter 13 in the Gospel of Matthew. There we have the parable of the sower, the purpose of the parables, the parable of the sower explained, the parable of the weeds among the wheat, the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the yeast, the use of parables. Jesus explains the parable of the weeds, and then he tells three more parables. Why? Because that's how you witness. That's how he's getting the word out. Just that in Matthew 13 takes us through 50 verses of that scripture. Just telling stories. What is the most powerful story you've ever heard? Is there a story that has stuck with you your whole life, whether it came from your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, church, through a minister or a friend? I'm going to tell you a story. I shared this story some years ago, but this is a story that has stuck with me for over 30 years. It's hard for me to even get it out of my head. I think about it all the time. It's the most powerful story I ever heard, and it's about Solomon Rosenberg. Have you ever heard that story? Solomon Rosenberg, his wife, his two sons, and his parents were taken to a Nazi concentration camp during World War II. When they got to the camp, they quickly found out there's one rule. You work or you die. Pretty simple. You can't work, you die. Well, the first thing Solomon saw was his parents go off to be exterminated. But his fear was that his youngest boy David would be, because his boy David was very frail. And it scared Solomon. So every night when they came into the barracks after working all day, he'd look for the faces of his family. And when he saw his wife and his two sons, they rejoiced and they prayed and they gave God thanks that they had another day of life. But one day Solomon came in. He didn't see any of his family. And he became scared. And he looked and he looked. And when he looked in a corner, there was his oldest boy Joshua in a corner, huddled up, weeping and praying. He goes over and he says, Joshua, tell me it's not true. Tell me it's not true. And he said, yes, Papa, it's true. They came and got David today. He says, but where's your mother? He said, oh, Papa. David was so scared and was crying. So Mama came and took his hand and said, have no fear. Don't be afraid, David. And she went with him. That story has stayed with me for over 30 years. You know why? Because it shows the love of a mother, for one. I've used it on Mother's Day. But number two, that story speaks to me about courage, self-sacrifice. That's a story that will stay with you. And then, at the most and the least, it tells me how much God loves me and loves you. You see, God's Son opened his arms and died for us. What a story. What a story. Those are stories that convey a message. Those are stories that tell you what it is like to be a child of God. It is a story that tells you about courage and love and what true love is. Is all about. So what is the most powerful story you've ever heard? What has stuck with you? What story have you shared with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, that they may cling to that story and say, my grandparents had such faith. This is how much they love. This is what they did for Christ. Sometimes it's not a story that we hear. Sometimes it's a story that we see. We experience it in life. This is yet another story that I have shared with you in years past, but it's one I've never forgotten. When I was in the Navy, just got out of boot camp, I was scared. Boot camp was scary enough. Getting out was worse because I didn't know what to do with myself. But there were five of us, and we got to our new assignment. And there was a Master Chief Petty Officer Martinez. He was a big guy, big, as in he looked like he could hurt you. So he comes up, he says, you five, clean the toilets. Now, I don't know how many of you have military experience, but for whatever reason, they love toilets. And they have to be clean, and when I say clean, they sparkle. We used sandpaper on them to make sure they sparkled. But anyway, he says, okay, all of you go and you clean those toilets. And this one recruit looked at him and said, no, sir, I did not join this man's Navy to clean toilets. I'm not doing it. We shook. The rest of us were scared. We thought, we're going to watch someone die right in front of us. As I said, Martinez was a big man. And he gave this boy a look I'll never forget. Then he walked up to him and we said, this is it. He's about to hit the floor. But he didn't do that. He walked up to him and he took the sponge, the cleaner, and the sandpaper out of his hand, walked over to a toilet, dropped to his knees, and began to clean. And every one of us went over and started cleaning. That's leading by example. That's a story that'll stick with you. Didn't Jesus lead by example? Isn't it Jesus who came along and loved people, no matter who they were? Wasn't it Jesus who came along and healed people that even the disciples said, whoa, what are you doing? Don't touch them. Wasn't it Jesus who set an example and told a story strictly through his life? Sometimes stories aren't spoken. Stories are lived. What have you lived? What model are you for your family, for your friends, for your neighbors? As we approach Christmas, which is a very stressful time, anybody agree with that? Very stressful. Trying to get ready, trying to get food cooked, trying to get ready for guests, or preparing to travel to be with family, going to the malls and to the shopping centers and getting in the crowds, trying to find a place in a restaurant. You can't get more stressful than Christmas if you're involved. You just can't. But what example, what are you modeling for your family? When the kids come in and say, Mama, Daddy, or Grandmother, Granddaddy, you say, hush, I'm trying to get ready for Christmas. Wow. Happy birthday, Jesus. Right? Get out of my way. I've got to get ready for Christmas, for the coming of the Lord. Wow. Is that what we model? Is that the role model we want to be? Do we have compassion and understanding? Do we have acceptance and forgiveness? What is it we want to say to people about who we are and what we can do? I must add at this point, we are not only witnesses to our faith in Jesus Christ, but we must be an example to those who witness our actions. When people see you out in public, what are they seeing? Are they seeing the Christian life? Are they seeing an example? You know, it doesn't matter, and I hear this all the time, and I know you do too. People will say, yeah, but you know, in this case, that doesn't apply. Why? Because it's you? The rules are for everyone else, but not for me? Maybe it's in politics. Oh, well, you see, that's political. It's different. No, it's not. It's not. Morals go with who we are, regardless of party. Politics have nothing to do with that. You agree? Did not Jesus say, render unto Caesar? And you hear people say, oh, yeah. Well, see, that's what I'm doing when I act like that or do that, is I'm rendering. No, that is a faulty reframing of what it means. Jesus wasn't talking about morals, folks. When he said, render unto Caesar, he didn't say, go out and act like a Roman. He's talking about paying, about doing your civic duties, not about changing who you are. That is not what that means. One Sunday morning in 1865, this is yet another story that I've always found very special. Sunday morning, 1865, you get that in your head, for those of you who are Civil War buffs? There was a prominent church in Richmond, Virginia. And it came time for communion, so the preacher called for the people to come to the altar for communion. And an African-American man walked up and knelt. The rest of the congregation went, oh, no. You see, they had a shared cup. We're not doing that. This one man stood up, very distinguished looking gentleman, walked up and knelt next to that man, Robert E. Lee. Everyone else got up and came to communion. Do we lead by example? Do we live by our convictions? You see, Robert E. Lee, for those of you who have studied him, you know he didn't agree with what the South believed in, but he said, I can't abandon my own Richmond, Virginia. It's like my country. I've got to serve my country, but I don't believe this stuff. You know, it's kind of like Vietnam. I may not believe what it was all about, but I serve because that's my country. So he gets up and he kneels, and when he does, everyone follows that example because they know that Lee had a conviction to be a Christian, no matter what the situation. I am going to do what I believe. If we are convicted believers in Christ, we can do no other than to live that which we believe. To do otherwise is to say, you know, I think Jesus had some really pretty words, but I'm not doing it. Are you serious? I can't do what he says, but I really like hearing the words. It sounds good. Is that who we are? Are we perfect? No, absolutely not. Should we be striving for perfection? You bet we should. By setting an example, by telling our story, by telling those stories that convey who our Lord is and will always be. During this Advent season, what can we do as a community of faith to show those around us in the community what we believe? During this Advent season, what can you do to show your family and friends what you believe? During this Advent season, is it even possible for us to remember why we have the Advent season? I hope you say it is. To celebrate the birth of our Lord, the coming of Jesus Christ, He who we should be modeling ourselves after. Advent, have you seen our sign out here? Advent, the season to give and receive joy, love, hope, and peace. My prayer for you and for me is that we may give and receive joy, love, hope, and peace to our loved ones and those that we love and those that we don't love. Just like our Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. We may say we don't love them, but we're called to. Tell your story. Stories not only teach us how to act, they inspire us to act. They communicate our values and our beliefs from our hearts. There's not a more powerful testimony than to say that which is on your heart when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hopes, our cares, our obligations can inspire us with the courage to act as it did our Lord. Remember, we can think all we want about being a Christian, but until we act like a Christian, we're not accomplishing anything. That's our story. That's who we are. May God bless you all, and during this Advent season, may we come to the realization that the Lord came into this world so that we may be like Him. That we may live the gospel. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for each and every one here and for those who could not be with us today. We ask your blessings upon those who are sick and going through difficult times. And we ask that you be with those who are traveling, that they may be safe. Be with us as we come upon our meeting, our congregational meeting. Bless us in a way in which we may take your church further into the ministry of your Son. For we ask this in His name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.